In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, heaven will have to flee. Jesus, tell me who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have victory. In the name of Jesus, have to flee. When we stand in the name of Jesus, help me who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus. Have the victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Satan, good. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine, joy is mine, joy today is mine. I get it behind me, today is mine. Peace. Today is mine. I can't leave behind me. He's mine. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. Healing today is mine. Praise Lord, amen. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Healing today is, yes, amen, amen. Rest is mine, rest. Oh yes, today is mine. I behind me, rest today is mine. Joy is mine, joy is mine, joy today is mine. I can't be behind me, joy today. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter in every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. If it's sickness that you feel and your body isn't well, remember He's the great physician, and in Him all life dwell. Cast your cares on Jesus, and you'll find soon be whole. Believe His word and promise, all is mine. Every promise in the book, yes, is mine. Yes, it's mine. Every chapter, every verse, in every line, I am trusting. Yes, in His love, amen. Every promise, amen, is mine. You may ask Him for salvation of close relation. One you truly love is gone far away. Look unto the Lord and by faith stay your claim. Trust in God and call upon His name. Yes, every promise, every promise, take your promise, brother, sister, take His promise, amen. It's mine, it's mine. Chapter this evening, amen. Every lie, it's mine. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book, find who lost the passion, maybe because your poor reaction. Life isn't there, does he really care? Look to the Lord and you'll find He's always there. Believe His word and trust our God, He cares. Every promise in the book, amen, it's mine, it's yours, amen, this evening, amen. In every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book, how excellent is your name, Lord. How excellent is your name, O Lord. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How worship Him. How marvelous is Thy name. How marvelous is Thy name. How marvelous is Thy. Yes, yes, Lord, Lord. How marvelous is Thy name. How marvelous is Thy name. How marvelous is Thy name, O Lord. How wonderful is Thy name, O name, O Lord. Wonderful is thy name, yes, Lord, thank you. Full is thy name, how wonderful is thy name, O Lord. How wonderful is thy name, how wonderful is thy name, how wonderful is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How beautiful is thy name, is thy name. How beautiful is thy name, O Lord. How beautiful is thy name, how beautiful is thy name, how beautiful is thy name.
Some petitions, brother. Sister Dube and Savior are traveling to England asking for prayer, coming back Sunday evening. Brother Francois in college asking for prayer, and Sister Lily can't come. I think it's already been prayed for. She's requesting prayer. Oh, Jesus, how beautiful is your name. How excellent and how marvelous you are, Lord. And Father, how we long just to be more like you. And Father, that's why we've gathered in your house this evening. Lord, we desire to behold your glory, that, Lord, you may change us into the same image from glory to glory, that you may better reflect you. Father, we long to enter like Moses into that place, that as we'd leave, Father, would be different than when we came. Yes. That, Father, it would be reflected even in us, that there'd be a difference, that people would see a difference. Amen. But, Father, it needs you. Father, that's why we're giving ourselves into your hands. Father, we've come in your name because we just want to worship you. We just want to fellowship with you, Lord, and Father, we invite you to have the preeminence in this place, to glorify your name. Thank you that you're so faithful to your appointments, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you never miss an appointment, Lord. Father, and we give ourselves, Lord, and the petitions that we have for our brothers and sisters, Lord, we pray for them. Brother, Sister Dube, having traveled to Southend, Lord, won't you just bless her and save her, give them a safe journey, bring them safely back, Lord. We ask Brother Francois College, be with him, watch over him and his family. Sister Lily, Lord, Father, we once again would pray for that issue, Lord. You know the need. Father, how we long to gather together with you, to gather together with your people. Father, we're just a needy people and we give ourselves to thee. Won't you bless the word now? Won't you minister us to that place, Lord, of fellowship with you, that you'd quicken us upon this night for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open Luke chapter 7. We do greet you this evening, saints, in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 7. Let's read a very familiar portion of scripture from verse 43. From verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. You may be seated, saints. Just looking at this issue, continuing on this one of creating an atmosphere. we can see one thing immediately with this story. It's just such a precious story. The prophet preaches it so many times in different ways. You know, he preaches Jesus with dirty feet. He preaches the unwelcome Christ. And he brings this message up in many different places. And he applies it to our day. The prophet actually likens it in the Laodicean Church Age, paragraph 233. He says, when Jesus came to this feast, because you know that Simon made him a feast. He says, just like he came to the Pentecostal feast here. So he's speaking about when Jesus, the Logos, has come in this age. He says, somebody had missed him. They were so interested in their affairs. The bishops and so forth was there. Jesus was invited, but nobody washed his feet. And there he was sitting over in the corner. They hardly knew that he was there. With his feet stinking, dirt all over him, dusty. Now friends, we've come unto this place this evening. We've come unto this feast. We've been given such a sacred, wonderful invitation in this age. We've been summoned to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we've come unto this feast this evening. And we're looking forward to next weekend when we've been invited to a feast. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. But there's two different things that make up what we're going to receive from a feast. The first one is our preparation, and the second one is our approach. Because Jesus came to their feast. They invited him to come to the feast. Simon invited him and he came, but Simon didn't receive anything except for a rebuke. That's all he received. Now, it's an amazing thing to think about that you can have Jesus coming right to your feast. He'll come where his people are gathered. You'll invite him and he will come. But sometimes, like the prophet says, we can be so busy with other things that we don't wash his feet, we don't make him welcome. Amen. And friends, this is one way when we're speaking about creating an atmosphere. You've got to make him feel welcome. Amen. Because Jesus will come, but he'll never really display who he is until he feels welcome. Amen. He'll never really show the fullness of what he can do and express what's really inside of him if he doesn't feel welcome. And friends, all of us can come here this evening and we can all make him feel unwelcome. We can come here this evening and say, you know, I wish that I wasn't here. You can come here this evening and you know, be thinking of this and thinking of that and thinking of the other. And we don't make him feel welcome. And then you leave this place and nothing has come forth from the supernatural and ministered to you. That's what happened to Simon. Although Simon had invited him to the feast. But there was another person who also came to the feast who was this harlot. And she's obviously a type of the bride. The prophet always speaks of that. And she received such a blessing. Amen. Imagine the atmosphere when she came was so bad. But her worship and her service to Jesus wasn't determined on the attitude of other people. She wasn't worried about the atmosphere other people were creating. She came there with one motive and one objective. She wanted to minister to Jesus. Amen. She wanted to make Jesus feel welcome. And friends, that's what we need to do this evening. Each and every one of us, if we had come with that motive to say, look, I don't mind about what happened today. I don't mind about what's happened on the way to church. I don't mind about all these circumstances that surround me. I want to come and minister to Jesus. Because she came to minister to Jesus. Amen. And if we've come here this evening for any other purpose except for to minister to him, we're not going to receive what you're supposed to receive. Amen. But if we come to this place this evening and say, I want to in worship minister to him. I want to come in prayer. I want to minister to him. I want in whatever service that I can offer, whatever's in my hands, I want to minister to him. You're going to leave this place a different person. Just as much as she left that place a different person. She was completely different when she left. And we know those feasts, and the prophet speaks of it like Simon's feast, the way that they would prepare. Now, those rich people. Now, Simon, obviously, he was rich and he thought he had need of nothing. He was increased with goods. He was really Laodicea in the flesh. He was a religious man, but he thought that he didn't need this visitation of the Son of Man. Now, and the Son of Man came right into his house and he was rich and increased with goods and he had made such a great feast. And the prophet speaks first about the approach that people would have in those days of approaching a feast. And friends, as we look to even to this evening, we look to services coming before us. This is where we either succeed or we fail. Amen. This is where we either receive the blessing or we don't. It's on our approach. Amen. And the prophet speaks about Jesus, how he was invited to Simon's house, and now how that messenger went and gave him the invitation. And because he was invited to come, he keeps his appointments. And if you prayed today before you came to this place and you said, Lord, I need to meet with you, he's here to meet with you. He's here to meet with you because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. But the way it is in the kingdom of God, you can have some people that can be get into such a spiritual channel and receive such a spiritual blessing, and you may be sitting next to somebody who will sit there and think, that was the worst service I've ever been in. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. Because a woman came to Jesus' feet and Simon was sitting right next to Jesus, and one received redemption. She received forgiveness of sins. She received completeness and wholeness in all that she was. And Simon was just made worse by the same occasion. He was just made worse because the prophet says, you're going to leave this place different than you came. Amen. You can't be the same whenever you come into the house of the Lord. And that's why, friends, it's such an important thing, firstly, our preparation. Amen. And the prophet says, when people would come to those feasts in the Orient, and we know how it was, they were rich and they put on a big spread, and you know, they'd invite the guests and they'd set the best time of the year, he says, you know, so that the grapes were ripe and the fragrance of the flowers, you know, setting a nice atmosphere to show off their wealth and show off their prestige and invite all the big men of the city so they could show all the contacts that they had. And Simon invited Jesus to come. And Jesus came, and the prophet says, whenever somebody would come to one of those feasts, you couldn't go straight from having just received the invitation and coming from the business of life. You couldn't come from whatever you were doing, walking the dusty roads of Galilee, getting all the dirt on your feet and your garment, you know, sweeping up the dust, and there's all the dung and all the things that are on the road, and you're not smelling very good, and then the hot Palestinian sun, it bakes your skin and you're sweating and you're smelling. You couldn't come like that and come straight into the presence of the master of the feast. You couldn't do it. You weren't in any kind of a condition to go and walk inside of this man's, on his Persian carpets. You weren't feeling welcome. You weren't feeling comfortable yet because of the journey that you'd been in and the condition that you'd been in, the atmosphere that you were coming from. And that's what the world does to us. And it's an easy thing, saints, to surrender ourselves to that kind of a thing. Now, you might have a bad day at college, a bad day at work, a bad day in the house. That's the best time to expect the Lord to do something for you. No, the worst that your day has been, the worst the circumstances have been, surely the more determined you should be inside of your soul to say, I need to meet with Him. I don't want to just go to church tonight and meet the song leader. I don't want to just go to church tonight and meet the minister. I want to go to church and I want to meet with Him. I want communion and fellowship with Him. I want Him to minister to my needs. I don't want to go from the prayer meeting the same as I came. And you get what you expect. If you come with that kind of an expectation, we'll see that woman came with a determination. She was determined. She came with an agenda. She knew why she was coming. She knew exactly what she was doing. And her preparation didn't start just when she got there. She started preparing right from home. She went and bought the ointment. She went and prepared everything. Her preparation started a long time before the feast. And that's how when she came, she was focused. She knew who was there. She knew what she was looking to receive. She knew why she was going there. Friends, don't ever come aimless just to the house of the Lord. Don't come and just say, well, it's a Wednesday. I need to go on a Wednesday. It's a Friday. Well, I suppose everybody else. That's what you'll get. Because you're not coming with an expectation. But if you from the morning have in your soul been saying, Lord, I want to fellowship with you this evening. When the saints are gathering in, I want to worship you. I want to meet with you. Lord, I want there to be a from that time. I want some kind of a milestone in my experience. I want you to raise me up. I want you to do something for me as I minister to you. If that's been your desire during the day, the devil would have been giving you a hard time. He'll be trying to destroy the expectancy in you. He'll be trying to disappoint you, discourage you. That's his job. But the moment we enter through those doors, friends, it's a different story. Amen. He doesn't have any authority in this place. Amen. This place is consecrated to the worship of the Lord. This is the place that we've dedicated to feast with the King. to dine as his guest. So the moment we come through there, you should sit down and say, Satan, you've done your best, but you failed. Because I'm here and I have a desire in myself and I have a divine promise that is going to meet me at my point of need. And something will happen. But friends, don't come defeated like many times we do. Don't come and just be looking at your watch and saying, well, I hope he's not going to take too long this evening. That's all you're going to receive then. But if you can come with an expectation to say, let me hold on to something in the Word. Lord, speak something to me that will quicken my faith. Lord, minister something to me that will open the door that I need so that when we come to pray, I can come into your presence. So that when we come into prayer, Lord, there'll be something supernatural. There'll be something real in my spiritual experience that when I go, I might have a spiritual momentum that I didn't have when I came. That should be our desire, friends. We have to expect something because you get what you expect. Simon wasn't expecting anything from Jesus. He was just expecting to a good laugh, you know, to show off with his friends. Yeah, that's all that he was expecting, and that's what he got. He never received anything supernatural from Jesus. He never received anything that changed his life. He never received anything that changed his circumstances. He never received the forgiveness of his sin. He never received eternal life. He never received any spiritual blessing. Yet God himself was in his house. God was there. God himself, the tree of life, was there, right there in that room. And he never received anything. And the prophet says, that's like the Laodicean church age. He's come, he keeps his appointments, but because of the attitude of the people, because of the atmosphere of Laodicea, because of people's rights and people's opinions, it creates an atmosphere. And Christ is not ministered to in that atmosphere. He doesn't feel welcome in that atmosphere. And as long as he doesn't feel welcome, he just continues to sit there with dirty feet. And all of the blessing and all of the eternal life and all of the healing and all of the spiritual power that was in him couldn't be released in that kind of an atmosphere. That's what Laodicea is. And the problem with us, friends, many of us came from Africa, but now we're living in Europe. And if we're not careful, we start getting into this Laodicean spirit ourselves. Amen. When in Africa, people wouldn't mind walking a long way to get to church. People wouldn't mind staying in church the whole day on a Sunday. You know, people had an attitude, an expectancy, and they made Christ feel welcome. And that's why he pours out so much of his blessing, because of the atmosphere that the people have created by making him feel welcome in their midst. They've come to minister to him. They haven't come for any other purpose, to be seen or whatever that it is. You come to minister to him. You want to worship him. You want to bless him in some kind of a way. That's really what we should be coming from. So when those people would come to the feast, when you're invited, you would come sweaty, you would come burnt, you would come dusty. Yeah? And the first thing there would be the man that washed your feet. The prophet says the foot wash flunky. You had to be washed first. They had to wash off the dust and wash off the manure off your feet. And then they would give you those silken slippers, that give you cloth-like slippers, because you were going into this masterpiece of a place. You were going into the master's mansion. You're going to tread on these Persian carpets and all the riches and the finery of this place which you'd been invited to. And you couldn't go and just walk in there with dirty feet and defile the place. You couldn't just walk straight into this man's house with dust and dirt and all those kind of a thing. He wouldn't appreciate it and you wouldn't feel that was the right thing to do. So there had to be a preparation. And the master had provided servants to minister to you. To minister you into a condition so that you could come into the presence of the master. And the prophet says that's exactly the way that it is with the preaching of the gospel. He first wants to wash you in the waters of the word. To wash away the contamination of the day. So that you can get your thoughts captive to Christ. So that you can lay aside all the negativity of the day and all the things that you've been through. And start entering into a certain spiritual channel. He gives a song leader, he gives musicians to minister to you so that you can start moving yourself into a position that you're starting to feel a little bit more comfortable. Because maybe the day was hard, maybe your life isn't going that well, but he wants to minister to a place that you start feeling, yes, Hey, I can start forgetting about myself. I can start concentrating on Him. Something's starting to change. And then once that washed your feet, you'd go into the next little compartment. You'd move within from that veil into the next veil. And there was the servant who had the ointment, who had the oil. He had the spikenard, whatever it was called, where they had the rose of Sharon crushed and mixed with that oil. It was something really expensive. And you'd put out your hands and that servant would pour some oil, rich, fine, beautiful smelling, refreshing oil. It was a perfume as well. And you'd take that and you'd wipe your face and you'd wipe your neck. And then he'd give you a clean towel, a clean cloth. I'm sure it was something which was soft and something which was rich. And you'd take that and you'd wipe your face and you'd wipe your neck. And all of that sweat and all of the burn and all of the things from the outward atmosphere that have started to affect you, that would minister to you. And now you started to feel refreshed. You started to, you know, to smell good. Your feet were washed. You were wearing these satin slippers. Now you could enter into the Persian carpets. And now you smelt good. You couldn't before that go and give a kiss to the master of the house. You were smelly. Amen. You weren't smelling good. You didn't feel comfortable when he's coming in his rich robe and he's coming in his finery. And you're going to go and kiss him on the neck. And yet you're sweaty and you're dusty and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't have felt comfortable to kiss him. But now once he's provided the oil, he's provided the water, he's provided the ministry to you to prepare you to come into his presence. All of those things were just preliminary. It was the grace of that man who invited you. It was his responsibility to minister those things to you. To prepare you, because he's invited you so that you can come right to receive the kiss of his blessing. And then finally now, you're smelling good, you're feeling good, you've forgotten about your journey, you've forgotten about all the things that are shut out without the veil. You now come and here comes the master himself. Here comes the master of the feast, the one who's invited you to be there. And he comes and he grabs your hand and he kisses you welcome. Ah, then you felt at home. Now the prophet says you can go to the refrigerator and help yourself to anything in there. You can sit down, put your feet up on the sofa. You're feeling at home now. Amen. Friends, that's what church services are supposed to be. Amen. We're supposed to come to a stage we feel comfortable. Oh, Lord, now I'm starting to feel good. Amen. Oh, Lord, now I'm starting to enter into the atmosphere of what this feast is all about. Amen. That's what it was. There had to be this preparation. And you'll find it in the Bible. You go and look, how was the Old Testament structured? You'll find Leviticus, yeah, and those books showing you the order of God's house. Amen. You first have to go and read Leviticus to understand the order of God's house. How should the priest be dressed? How should he be anointed? How should the music be done? How should you tread in his courts? Who can go within the veil? Who can't? Once you go from there, keep going, you then get to the Psalms. The Psalms is now worship. Now you're starting to get into worship. You've come obeying divine order. You come to the quiet time. You come and you sit down. You're approaching him reverently with respect. Amen. Everybody's finding their place. The song leader finds his position. You know, he's got his musical instruments. He's the sons of Korah, the sons of whoever it was that were to sing and to play the music. Each person, then the minister himself, the priest, he comes and he finds his position. He has to dress in a certain way, be anointed in a certain way, be walking a certain walk. And then the congregation, now you find your position as well. And then the Psalms comes now. And that's worship now. Then we start entering into worship. We start creating an atmosphere. And then what comes? Your prophetic books. Then you get Daniel and Jeremiah and all the mysteries of the kingdom and all the mysteries of prophecy and God's mind towards his people. God structured it like that for a purpose. You can't just jump straight into the prophetic books. There's got to be a preparation time first. You've got to respect the order of his house. You've got to respect the order of his servants. You've got to find your place and stay in your position. Then you enter into song worship in the Psalms. You now started to feel at home in his house. Then once you've worshipped him and ministered to him, now he starts to speak back to you. Now the prophetic books come. It always is like that in God's word. You've got to approach him the right way. And whenever you approach him the right way, heaven's going to respond. When Elijah came and according to due order, prayerfully, according to the divine vision, took those 12 stones and repaired that altar. and did it according to the word of the Lord. He followed the due order. He put the preparation in place. He was in the spirit of preparation. He restored the altar. Then heaven responded. Then God showed, I'm pleased with this preparation. I'm pleased with this approach. And something spiritual took place. Friends, I've come here this evening. I don't want to go from this place the way that I came to this place. I want to meet with Him. What's the purpose of coming to the feast and you don't meet the master of the feast? What's the purpose of just being having your feet washed? What's the purpose of just being ministered the oil so that you feel better? And you don't get the kiss of blessing from the master himself. Surely he doesn't want us to do that. No one should be satisfied to leave this place without the kiss of blessing from he himself. But in order to get that, it needs a certain approach. It needs a certain preparation. It needs a certain expectation. It needs a certain determination, because there's the devil. There's the powers of darkness, and they're going to try to keep you from heavenly places. And if you're just going to say, but on the way to church, this and that happened, no, I don't think it's going to be very good. You're going to get what you expect. But if you're going to say, the devil's trying to give me a real kicking this week, that's a sure sign God's blessing is on the way. You're going to receive something. Because the devil always tries to circumvent the blessings of God. He always tries to get in the way when there's a blessing coming up. It's always been like that. And that's why God, it depends on your approach. It depends on your preparation. The woman with an issue of blood, she approached him in a certain way. It didn't start just then. She'd been in deep meditation. Maybe she'd been in prayer. She must have heard about Jesus. Something had ministered her into a certain place of expectancy. And she must have been thinking, if only I can meet this man, Jesus. If only I can meet this man that I'm always hearing about. I hear that he did this. I hear that he did that. And that raised an expectation inside of her. And then she approached him with a certain touch. There were many other people there touching him. The prophet says the soldiers touched him at the crucifixion. They touched him in Caiaphas's palace, in the judgment hall. They didn't receive any virtue. But she came with a certain approach. She came with a certain reverence. She came with a certain respect. She came with a certain expectation. And she got what she expected. Virtue went forth to her. There were many other people gathered all around Jesus that day. But the virtue from the tree of life, he was the tree of life made flesh. Once again, she partook of the tree of life and the multitudes around her didn't. Ah, friends, God calls us Gentiles as individuals. He meets with us as individuals. He may only meet one person in this place this evening, because there's only one person under expectation. What a pity that it would be, because he wants to minister to every single one of us. He wants to reveal himself to every single one of us, but we've got to come with a certain approach. We've got to come with the right kind of a preparation. So you find once so all the rest of the people who came that day, Simon ministered the entrance to them. He washed their feet and he got the servant to give them the oil and he kissed them welcome. And here was Jesus sitting with dirty feet. Jesus was invited to the same feast. And there he was sitting with dirty feet. Somehow they missed him. The prophet says, and then there's a poor old harlot down the street who came up there. Now what I like about the story about this woman, it only takes one person to change an atmosphere. Amen. It doesn't need everyone to change the atmosphere. Just one person can change the complexion of the entire feast. Just one person. One person coming the right way can completely change the order of things. When Jesus, everyone was criticizing him. Everyone was laughing. Everyone was looking down at him. People were despising him, letting him sit there with dirty feet. Friends, in this age, Jesus has a dirty name, not only dirty feet. Look what people are doing with the Bible. Look what people are doing with his holy word. Look what people are doing with the sacred things of the kingdom of God. Surely there's got to be a people that he's going to call that are going to create an atmosphere and change that. And they're going to redeem that situation. They're going to say, I'm not going to allow my master to sit with dirty feet. Surely there's something that I can do. If everybody else in this age doesn't appreciate him, let me appreciate him. Amen. Even if I don't have water, let me use my tears. Let me wash his dirty feet.
Amen.
And she came. The most unlikely of people. A harlot. She was the worst sinner in the city.
Amen.
Her sins were many, Jesus said. But she came in a certain way. Having heard about him, she came with a certain love. She came with a certain faith. She came with a certain simplicity, a certain determination. And she changed the entire situation in that feast. The entire situation. Have you never seen it, friend? Somebody come and sing an item. And God gets in the item and changes the whole atmosphere in the service. Someone comes and stands and gives a testimony. And the blessing of God comes down. And the atmosphere changes. One person can change the situation. And why don't you look at yourself and say, I want that person to be me.
Amen.
Why not do that? One person can change the order of things. One person can get Jesus to unveil who he really is. In the midst of the feast, and she was the one. It was a surprise that God chose such a vessel as her to do something like that. Now, she was the only person who came with the right objective to that feast. Nobody else had the right objective apart from Jesus. But she was the only one who had the right objective. The right motive of going to that feast. And what was her motive? She was single-hearted in herself. She was so determined. She was focused in what she was doing. She was going to go and minister to Jesus. That was her motive. She was going to minister to Jesus. And friends, if we come here today or we come here on Sunday with any other motive, any other objective, we're not going to get much. You don't come here for people to minister to you. Yes, the Lord will minister, wash your feet and anoint you with oil. But the real purpose surely of us tonight, we should minister to him. Surely that's the most important thing. He desires worship. The prophet says he is our rejected king. And David was thirsty for a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And he said to those servants of his mighty men, he said, oh, that I may drink water from the well of Bethlehem. And they fought through those miles of Philistines, brought him water, and he poured it out as an offering before the Lord. And the prophet says, can't we bring him a drink of Pentecostal water?
Amen.
Spiritual worship, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Can't we refresh him tonight by praying and worshiping him in spirit and in truth?
Amen.
Can't we offer something to him that will refresh him by coming in the song worship and, you know, with all of our hearts, with all of our determination, saying, Lord, I want this offering, though I may not have a good voice, though I may not know how to hit a good tune, but I want this to be pleasing to you.
Amen.
I want this to be acceptable to you. And you might look and say, but you know, my offering, it's not the greatest of offerings. Look at what she came to offer. She came with ointment that was bought with the money gained through her harlotry. Where did she get the money to buy that ointment from? She was a harlot. And the prophet says that. He says, Jesus sat there with unwashed feet and a street harlot. I could see her go down. He says, let's take her for a minute. I can see her go down to the store and the tears begin to run down her face. She says, I can't do it. If I take this stuff up there, he'll know where I got this money. He knows how I got it, but it's the only thing that I've got. You might look at yourself and say, but hey, I was wrong in the way I spoke to someone today. I was wrong by doing this. I was wrong by doing that. And the devil will try to condemn you. But that offering that she brought, it was sanctified by her faith.
Amen.
And it was sanctified by her love.
Amen.
Jesus knew exactly where that ointment came from.
Amen.
But he was so blessed when she offered it because it was sanctified. Because it was offered with all of her heart, with
Amen.
All of her love, with all the faith that she had. And Jesus accepted it. So whatever offering that you've got tonight, don't look at what the devil will tell you about
Amen.
It. You just do it with all your heart, with faith in the blood, with faith in his finished work. Come in because you want to minister to him. And she came, and the prophet says it's the only thing. And Jesus gladly received it. That was the very thing that he had been waiting for all the time. That was the very thing that he needed. This offering that she made changed the entire situation. It's like when Mary, remember it says also about Mary when she came and broke the alabaster box and you know, poured it upon Jesus' head. There's something about a genuine offering. If you go and trace Mary, she used to sit at Jesus' feet. She used to soak it in and soak it in and soak it in. Yeah? That's where she used to be found. And then all that soaking it in and soaking it in, there came a time now when she saw, now's my chance to do something for him. Amen. And she entered into a certain place spiritually when the rest of the disciples didn't understand about Jesus dying, didn't understand about him going to Jerusalem. She anointed him for his burial.
Amen.
And she came to that place and everyone was sitting there and all the different things and the disciples are saying, oh, what a waste of money. And Judas is there with his critical spirit and all that. And she came and she broke the alabaster box. And there's something about that kind of an offering. It changed the atmosphere of the whole room. Because it says the odor of that perfume filled the house. Ah, friends, wouldn't you want to offer a prayer? You can offer a prayer this evening that will cause the atmosphere in this place to change.
Amen.
And everybody will sense there's a change in the atmosphere.
Amen.
You can come and sing a song, an item, and do it from your soul.
Mm.
And it will change the atmosphere in this place.
Amen.
And the whole place will be filled, as it were, with a sweet odor, a perfume.
Amen.
Like when Noah came out of the ark that day. And he came and he built that altar and he offered those clean animals on the altar. And it says it came up before the Lord as a sweet odor, a sweet smelling savor. And friends, when that goes up, the blessings come down. And that's when the rainbow appeared in the sky. And God established his covenant with Noah. Oh, friends, heaven will always respond. The covenant will always declare itself. When you offer something, it goes up to him. Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can't seek God in a spiritual way. You cannot minister to Jesus. No matter how imperfect you look at your offering, do it with all your heart and then not be a response from heaven. It's impossible. Heaven will respond. He has to respond. That's what he desires. He desires that kind of an offering, that kind of a worship. The prophet says that. He says that's all he wants. He doesn't care. You just come. Nothing in my arms I bring. Simon had far more that he could have used to minister to Jesus. Simon had so much that he could have used, but he didn't use it. She just had one thing, but what she had was all that she had. And she came and poured out all that she had that day to minister to Jesus. Our friends, don't hold back in worship.
Amen.
When it's song worship, don't hold back. Worship with all that you've got.
Amen.
When you pray, pray with all that you've got.
Amen.
You're doing it to minister to the King. Friends, he's worthy of far more than we could give. There may be other people that have far more that they could give, like Simon was. But you just come with what you've got.
Amen.
Like the widow's mites, you come with what you've got.
Amen.
That may seem small, it may seem insignificant, but if you've done it with all your heart, if it's all that you can do, you might say, I've got such a headache today. I can't even pray properly. Just give all that you've got.
Amen.
Just give all that you've got. It may not be much, but give all that you've got and see. Like Jesus with the widow's mites, it catches his attention straight away.
Amen.
And he turned around and he pointed his disciples and said, do you see that woman? She's given far more than all the people putting in the big bags of money. It's not so much what we do. It's not so much the greatness of what we do. It's the quality of what you do. When it's done in simplicity and sincerity and with all your heart, and you've poured out all that you've got,
amen,
it's acceptable before the Lord. And that's what creates the atmosphere. That changes the situation. She came with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible says God will never despise a broken heart and a contrite spirit. She came in simplicity. She came in humility. She came just wanting to minister to him. She came into an atmosphere that was totally contrary. You would never think something good could come from that atmosphere in Simon's house. But she came the inner channel herself. She came there. And friends, when she came to Jesus' feet, like to her, there was only one person in the room. And that was Jesus. And to Jesus, there was only one person in the room, and that was her. And that's what real worship is. That's what real prayer is. When you don't worry about the people around you. You move into a place you don't even know. You lose track of who's around you. You've got into a place that it's just you and Him. That's what prayer is. And when you start to worship, you're not worrying about this, that, and the other. When you start to sing, you get to a place that it starts to become real. And it's just you and Him. That's what He's looking for, friends. That's the worship that He's looking for. That's how you create an atmosphere in your own life. And when several people get together and create that atmosphere in one place, friends, something's going to happen. Something's going to change. So she came there to do Him service. No one else was there to do service to Him that day. No one else. But she came there to do Him a service, to do something for Him. And whenever you have that desire, she might have looked when she got there to say, how am I going to get from where I am to where He is? She might have looked and saw the guards at the door. She might have seen all the big servants that were there because she wasn't welcome in that place. She wasn't welcome by Simon. But when you have a desire to do something for Him, grace will always open the way and give you an opportunity. Every single time. If you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to worship You. Give me a chance to testify to somebody. And you go with that expectation. It's amazing the opportunities that come to people that maybe you've spoken to many times before about different things. And now it opens up. Because you get what you're expecting. When you're wanting to do service for Him, grace will always open up the avenue of service. And somehow she made it through all the opposition. She made it through all the critics. She made it through all of those people that were against her being there. And she found herself at His feet. Amen. Our friends, and that's what we've come here tonight for. We want to come to Jesus' feet. We want to come and wash His feet. He's got dirty feet in this age. He's got a dirty name. This message has got such a dirty name. Yet it's Jesus in bride form. That's what it is. It's Christ in His people. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's looking for people to change the situation. Simple people like she was. The prophet says, after she got through, Jesus never moved His feet. He just sat and looked at her and watched her. He says, oh, I like that. It's not the big things that we do. It's the little things we leave undone sometimes. He watched her. Nobody was paying any attention to Him except for her. How many people tonight in this town called Dublin, this city, are really paying attention to Him? How many people really love His word? How many people really want to keep His commandments? How many people really want to honor Him? It's going to be pretty much the same as in this story. It's just a tithing of the people. Sometimes it's people from an unexpected place. It's people who are unexpected kind of people with the strangest of backgrounds like her. But God will always have a people that are in that kind of a condition. There's always will be a people that want to do that service for Him. What came out of Jesus' mouth? He spoke to her and He spoke to Simon. And look at her approach. And look at her service. What did it bring forth? It brought forth the fruits of the tree of life. Your sins, and though they were many, are all forgiven you. Because of the greatness of your love. Hey. She left that place and she would never be the same. I'm sure when she got up from that place, from His feet, when she got up from offering that service, as she was walking through, she didn't even care what those people thought. She didn't even see those people. She was in another dimension. She had been personally ministered to and blessed by Jesus Himself. Ah, friends, how many times He's done that to us? How many times, look in your experience, how many times has He met you? And He's blessed you. And He's ministered to you. And He's put you in another dimension. He's put you in a place that you just lose sight of Laodicea that's around you. That's what He desires. That's the heart desire that He has tonight. But He just wants people to approach Him the right way. And to come to minister to Him. When she ministered to Him, He ministered back to her. He ministered eternal life. He ministered completeness and wholeness and deliverance. He ministered everything that she needed when she ministered to Him. And that's where it's going to be with us. Let's minister to Him as we come to a time of prayer. But what about Simon? The word spoke to him as well. It was a word of judgment. It says, Simon, Simon, I came into this house. When I came into your house, you never washed my feet. But this woman, ever since she came, she hasn't stopped washing my feet with her tears. And Simon, you never anointed my head with oil. But she's anointed my feet. And Simon, you never kissed me welcome. You never made me feel welcome. But ever since she got here, she hasn't stopped kissing me, kissing my feet. And because of this, I say unto her, woman, your sins are forgiven. Hey, and Simon left that feast worse than he was when he came. And that woman left that feast transformed. And she would never be the same again. Friends, that's the way we need to approach the things of God. It's not how many people there are. It's not how few people there are. It's not where we gather or how we gather, what time we gather, whatever that is. That's got nothing to do with it. It's all determined by a certain attitude inside of your own heart, by a certain desire inside of your own soul that you want to minister to Him. And Jesus revealed who He was. And then when Jesus said to that woman, your sins are forgiven you, the people started to say, who's this man to forgive sins? You read it. He doesn't even pay attention. He's just got eyes only for her. And he says, woman, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. And that's what it is, friends. He's not so interested in all the critics and all that kind of thing. His eye is on you. His eye is on me. And he's desiring us to worship him this evening. And if we approach him with that kind of an attitude, no matter the littleness of our offering, no matter how defiled your day may have been, your week may have been, no matter how much Satan may have tried to make you guilty in the things that you do, just come with love. And just come with the simplicity of faith. And just come and pour out what you've got at his feet. And just come and minister to him and see how the blessing will come. Let's approach him this evening. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing one song before we come to a time of prayer. Let's put our needs before the Lord. Let's put the weekend before the Lord. Let's pray for the saints that aren't here. Let's pray for Sunday service. Let's pray for next weekend services. We desire to be a feast with a difference. And may the Lord help us in our preparation. May the Lord help us in our approach. May the Lord help us as we come to the feast that the Master has invited us to. Do you have one song, bro?
Okay. The lily of the valley. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Hallelujah, the lily of the valley. And in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me holy. In sorrow is my comfort, in trouble is my stay. He tells me every care of him to roam. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley. Taken all my sorrow for. In temptation is my strong and mighty tower. Hallelujah, I am all forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He gives me His power. Now all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore. To Jesus I shall say, reach the goal. Hallelujah, is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me. I live by faith and do His blessed will. Hallelujah. About me, I have nothing now to fear. With this man, my hungry soul shall feed. Then speak me up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall never run. Hallelujah, is the lily of the valley. Of 10,000 to my soul.
Let's come to pray, saints. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. We want to minister to Him. He's worthy of worship, friends. No matter how you feel, just give Him your all. You don't have to pray loud. You don't have to pray long. But just from your soul to approach Him and say, Lord, You alone are worthy. We many times sing the song, You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. He's the only one who deserves it. When the praise goes up, the blessings come down. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Father, we just want to worship. Let's read one brief scripture again, saints, before we just put some petitions before the Lord, before we close. Let's just open Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Just very familiar, the Lord's Prayer. But just a little bit before we take any prayer requests from anybody and put ourselves before the Lord before we go from this place. You know, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's not really the Lord's Prayer. It was the Lord's Prayer because He taught it to us. But Jesus never really had to pray this prayer because He never had to ask for some of the things which you ask for in this prayer. Let's read Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Maybe sit there just for a few minutes, saints. Just to say one thing about prayer. You know, I really do think that obviously Jesus is the master, and He was the one who knew how to pray. And that's how when the disciples saw Him praying, they came and they said, Teacher, Amen. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner. So you can say the Lord's Prayer. The prophet did many times. But it's a model prayer. We know that it's praying after this manner. And I just wanted to show the one thing, because we're speaking about ministering to the Lord, and we're speaking about creating an atmosphere, even in prayer. Before we get to our petitions and our needs and asking for our daily bread, there's got to be giving Him the glory. That's what the balance of this prayer is. The first things that you're asking for, all to do with the kingdom of God. Before you get to your needs, before you even get to confessing your sins, forgive us our debts. You have a look at it. What's the first thing that you're asking the Lord for? You say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. So you're saying, Lord, I want to sanctify Your name. I want Your name to be hallowed. I want people to know who You really are. That's what you're saying. In this day, when people, when you speak about Jesus, they think of some Catholic God. Or they think of some, you know, idea of some people. But there's a reality of who Jesus is. And the most important thing, the purpose we are on earth for, is to show who Jesus really is. That's really washing Jesus' feet. That's really ministering to Him. Is you praying to say, Jesus, Father, hallowed be Thy name. You hallow Your name. You show how sacred Your name is. You show how real You are. So before you even looking at your problems, you're starting to look to Him. And friends, that's a real key in prayer. Because if you start your prayer straight away with all your needs, no, Lord, you know that I'm not really feeling very well today, and I don't really feel like praying. You're looking at your problems. Your problems are going to look big. But when you start your prayer looking at Him, and you say, Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, and you start worshiping Him, by the time you get your problems, you're going to have your problems in proportion now. Because you're going to realize He's far greater than all of your problems. Amen. And you're going to start realizing in many of your problems, He allowed them so that He can hallow His name. Amen. So that He can reveal Himself to you. So it puts the right perspective in prayer. That's why you say first, Our Father. That's why you can see that unbelievers shouldn't pray this prayer. It shouldn't be something that people just recite. Because you're saying, Our Father, this is to people who know that God is their Father. That you have a relationship with Him. That's the type of prayer that this is. This isn't for just sinners out there in the world. This is for people that know Him as their Father. Then what do you say? Verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So the very first thing, even before you get anywhere, you may have in your mind all the things which you're being challenged by, all the needs that are laying before you. But you're approaching it in this kind of way. You're saying, Father, Thy kingdom come. The only way, Lord, that these things can be resolved in my home, let Your kingdom come. Amen. The only way that these things can be resolved in my situation, Lord, let Your kingdom come. Amen. Let Your will be done. So what are you doing? You're getting yourself out of the way. You're saying, Lord, my will doesn't really matter here. The most important thing is let Your will be done. Your will is the most important thing. Your will is the thing that is right in this situation. But so many times we get into prayer, we haven't even thought of anything to do with God, His glory, His will, His kingdom, of Him sanctifying His name. And you wanted to start putting so many things before the Lord. But Jesus said, when you pray, this is the manner that you ought to pray. Give Him His position. Give Him the glory. Give Him first priority. Give Him first the preeminence. Because you can't say to Him, Lord, let Your will be done. And then you still want to do things your own way. You're saying, Lord, I'm willing to lay aside my own ways. Lord, I'm willing to lay aside my own understanding. I'm willing to lay aside my own way of seeing things. As long as You show me what Your will is, let Your will be done. That's the most important thing. And Lord, not me establishing my things. Let me not establish my own purposes, but Your kingdom come. As it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. Ah, friends. And once you get to that place, if you've really prayed it the right way, you're getting into a place now that heaven's paying attention to the type of prayer that you pray. Because this is what pleases the Lord. You're not just coming there and saying, Lord, I want this, I want that, I want the other. You're saying, Lord, glorify Your name. Lord, hallow Your name. Lord, let Your will be done. Lord, let Your kingdom be established. Not my will, but Thy will be done. You're approaching it in that kind of a way. And then you get to your own knees. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. The things that we need. He's promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He didn't promise to supply all of our wants, but He promised to supply our daily bread. And He says, which of you who comes and asks your father for bread will give him a stone? Or ask his father for a fish will give him a scorpion? No way. If you've been in prayer and you're starting to get in His presence and you're starting to get in the spirit of sonship and you're starting to get into the presence of the real fatherhood of who He is, you can then start to pray to Him and say, Father, I know that You'll give me all that I need. Just give me this day my daily bread. Give me my spiritual food today. Give me my natural food today. Tomorrow, sufficient for tomorrow are the things thereof, Jesus says. Take no thought about tomorrow. But you're praying and you're saying, Father, give me this day my daily bread. Lord, give me the things this day that I need. Minister to my needs that I have. Minister to the very things that are my daily bread upon this day. And then it's the key. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The prophet says, faith is based on forgiveness. You cannot pray this prayer, honestly, if you've got unforgiveness against somebody. If you're holding something against somebody, you praying and saying, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm making a deal with you. You forgive me of my sins as long as I forgive people of the wrongs they've done against me.
Amen.
So when you're holding on to something, you're saying, Lord, you don't have to forgive me then. That's why, friends, it's very important as a believer to make things right. That's why the prophet says, your unconfessed sins says, be careful, they'll keep you from the rapture. They'll keep you from the blessings of God. God doesn't forget. That Sunday school teacher had sinned against her husband during the war. In one message, the prophet said it was the First World War. And this was maybe 30 years after. And she hadn't made it right with her husband. Yeah? She hadn't gone and made things right. And God wouldn't release His blessing upon her. God, with all the spiritual resources, hearing every prayer that she prayed. But until she made her things right with God and went and made it right with man first, God wouldn't hear her prayers. And she says, but if I tell my husband, he'll leave me. And the prophet says, God's already left you. It's a serious thing, friends. That part of the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive them that are debtors to us. Forgive us our trespasses, it says, as we forgive them that have trespassed against us. That's a serious thing to do. But the moment that you freely forgive others, the moment that you show grace to others, He now shows grace to you. He forgives you as well. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what are you saying? I remember once speaking at a Brother Wilmore's house. God doesn't lead you into temptation in that way. But you're saying, Lord, there's going to be tests. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptation on the way. Let my trials not become temptations to me. Let the things I have to go through not stumble me. Let the things I'm going through not cause me to dishonor your name or to spoil my garments. Lord, give me the strength that I need, the grace that I need to go through the things that I'm ordained to go through. That's what it's meaning. We can't say, Lord, keep us from trials, because trials are there to develop character in us. Trials are there so that He can make Himself real to us. How will you ever know Him as Jehovah Jireh unless you get to a stage where you completely need Him?
Amen.
And you've tried everything that you can and nothing works. God has brought you to the Red Sea because He wants to show that He's Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
He wants to show that He can open the Red Sea.
Amen.
He loves to do those kind of things. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
Amen. Friend, that kind of a prayer prayed in the Spirit is a powerful prayer. When you worship Him first, you esteem Him first, you desire His will to be done first, then you put your desires before the Lord and then you finish up in worship and say, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ said, after this manner pray ye. And that's how we read the quote last week. The prophet says, pray first, offer some worship. Like I said once, when I heard Brother Biskel say that, and I always liked it, always stuck with me, when he says, you know, when you don't feel like you want to pray, when you feel dry in your prayer, first thing you do, start worshiping Him.
Amen.
Just go before Him and say, Lord, I thank You that You saved me. I thank You when I was dead in sin and trespasses, You shed Your blood. I thank You when I was yet Your enemy, Christ died for me. That's what the Bible says. I thank You, Lord, You sent someone my way and You showed me the way to the cross. Then, Lord, I thank You that You gave me the message of the hour. Lord, I thank You for the light that You shone across my path when I was in darkness. Lord, I thank You for a place that You've given me to worship. I thank You for brothers and sisters that You've given to me. I thank You for my wife. I thank You for the children You've given to me. Thank You for the job. Thank You for the food that I had today. Thank You for a place to sleep. Thank You for a car that I can drive to church. And once you start praying like that, the quickening power is going to come.
Amen.
And you're going to find yourself in the spirit of prayer once again. But it's good to worship the Lord, friends. It's good to minister to the Lord. It's good to wash His feet. It's good to come with that alabaster box and pour it out for His glory.
Amen.
And let it all be used for Him. And let it change the atmosphere of the place that you are. That's what prayer is all about, friends. And that's how we need to pray as well for our song leaders, for our musicians, because music is such an important part of that as well.
Amen.
to lead the saints into a place that we can really offer worship. No, from our hearts in unison, in a harmony of worship that comes up before the Lord as a sweet savor. Our friends in the Bible, in the days of the temple, they used to come to pray at the hour of incense. Yeah, the hour of the evening sacrifice. Amen. And then the high priest would be going and putting the incense on the censer, and he'd go to the altar of incense right before the veil, the closest he could get to the very Shekinah presence of God. And as he put that sweet incense, and it went up as a smoke before the Lord, and the Lord would smell and would please the Lord, then the people would pray and put their petitions before the Lord. Ah, friends, we have the intercession of one who's already gone within the veil. And he's not only gone within the veil, he's within your veil. And that's why you pray, and that it becomes incense before the Lord. Your prayer starts becoming sweet when you pray it in this kind of a way. And when, like the song says, when the prayer goes up, the praises go up, the blessings come down. Heaven comes down, and glory fills my soul. Is that not your desire? Does anybody have any other requests tonight as we close? Let's remember these ones here. Sister Dube and Savior going to Southend. Brother Francois in college, Brother George also is at work. Sister Lily can't make it tonight. Is anybody else? And Sister Susan as well, she's traveled to Algeria for a couple of weeks. I think it's already been prayed for, but let's remember the sister before the Lord. Let's remember the meetings coming up. Let's remember the preparations. Let's pray for one another. Anybody else? Any other requests before the Lord? Brother Vlad? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Vlad's neighbor, let's pray for her. Spiritually and physically, she needs the grace of God. Let's stand, saints. Let's put these things before the Lord. Oh, Father, how we thank you, Lord, upon this night that we could gather in this place, Lord. And Father, what a blessing and what a privilege and what an honor that it is. Oh, Father, forgive us for the times when we get used to these things, Lord. And forgive us for the times that we come, Lord. And Father, we're coming just to think of going. Father, we don't want that, Lord. We just want to worship you. Father, bring in our worship before thee, Lord. Father, to thank you for all the things that you do, for all the things that you've done. To thank you, Father, Lord, by faith, for the things that you are going to do. Amen. Father, you said you would be with us, even in us, to the end of this age. Amen. You said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And Father, we know that that is true. Father, circumstances may seem to speak otherwise sometimes, Lord. But Father, you always come through in the end. Father, sometimes the trial of our faith. But Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Father, this request of Brother Vlad to bring this lady up unto thee. Lord Jesus, you see her situation. Please, Lord, minister unto her. Open a way. Bless our brother, Lord, even as he would try to speak to our sister as well, and have mercy upon her physically. Lord, minister to her soul and her spirit and her body. Make yourself real. Father, you put a circumstance, a situation in her life, a perfect opportunity for you to reveal yourself the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we pray for that situation, Lord, that you would hallow your name, that Father, you would be glorified in that situation. Father, our sister traveling, bless her, Lord, we pray. Father, Brother George, it will help him, bless him, Lord. Father, be with him upon this weekend. Father, Lord, I pray for even the musicians, the song leaders, Lord, for them, that you'd help them, Lord. Father, Lord, minister to them spiritually, Lord, as they wait upon thee, as they yield themselves unto thee. That day by day, Father, you'd bring them, Lord, closer and closer in harmony with you and a harmony with one another, Lord, that they may lead us and guide us continually, Lord, in worship unto thee, that it might be pleasing before thee. In this age, Lord, where, Father, you've got such dirty feet to the people, such a dirty name. Oh, Father, we desire that you'd hallow your name in this place. That, Father, your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. Father, in this place, even as it is in heaven. And Father, we just want to rise up into heavenly places. Please, Lord, bless Sister Lily. Help her, Lord, we pray. We dedicate up unto thee, Sister Susan. Father, please, may you hasten her journey. Quicken her and prosper her in her business, Lord, we pray. Bring her safely back, we'd ask, Lord. And the services coming up ahead, I pray for Brother Tommy. I pray, Lord, that you'd quicken him, Lord. I pray that you'd put a burden and a desire upon him, even at this time. I pray that you'd move him to seek thine face, to lay himself aside. Father, I pray for Brother George Martin, Lord, that, Father, you would just overshadow him, Lord. And Father, Lord, Father, lead him into a special place. That, Father, you may come and speak unto us, Lord, the oracles of God. Father, the very things that we need. And as Brother Crosby would come and be with us for that week, Lord, I just pray, even as you've sent him our way, Lord, Father, lead him and guide him, Lord, into that secret place of the Most High and overshadow him, Lord. And Father, speak unto us and raise us up. I pray for Brother Lubanza. Bless him where he's traveled in Samoa. Bless the ministers' meetings there. Bless the convention that is taking place. Bless his family. Bless his plans. Father, you lead him and guide him, Lord. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. In each of these circumstances, we pray. And each brother and each sister, every home that's represented, every young person, every child, I pray your blessing. Lord, Father, for traveling mercies. We see Brother George with an accident on Wednesday. Father, we need thee every hour. We need you to go before. We need the angel of the Lord to clear the way before us, Lord. Bring us safely home, we'd pray. Keep us, Lord, in the way. And Father, bless this weekend as we'd gather, Lord, as we come back for Sunday school. Bless it for adult Sunday school. Bless it, Lord, for the ministry of the word. Father, won't you bring us with an expectation, Lord, and help us to prepare ourselves, to lay ourselves aside, and every challenge that you have before us, Lord. Father, we know that you put these things before us so that you can reveal yourself as El Elyon, the Mighty One. Father, we just pray that you'd smite the enemy, Lord. Every spirit of division, Father, every spirit of criticism, every spirit of disunity, Lord. Father, we pray you'd drive it out, Lord. Father, put to flight the armies of the enemy, we pray. Let the captain of the host of the Lord go before. Father, let the mighty angel come down. And Father, put your feet on the earth and on the sea, Lord, and speak unto us, we pray. Father, we thank you for the message of the hour. We thank you, Lord, for fellowship with sons and daughters of God. We thank you for all things, Lord. Bless us now as we depart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one more before we dismiss. God bless you, saints, until Sunday. Hallelujah. Sing that song. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh. Don't you love being his friend? I don't know what I'd do in this life if Jesus wasn't my friend. Imagine trying to face up to this life without the friendship of Jesus. Ah, friends, we should appreciate it.
A friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss that one so weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet. a friend to lead me in the dark, a friend who knows the way, a friend to steer my vehicle bar, a friend my debts to pay. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine, a friend when sickness lay me low, a friend when blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine, a friend when life's over, a friend when death is past, a friend to greet on heaven's shore, a friend when blessed sweet communion.